If you would, to John 3:16. And put your finger at John 3:16 and open to John 14, verse 15. The church, universal, the invisible church. There's a visible church, but then there's that invisible church. But it's very dear and very special to God, to His kingdom, to Christ. Because that invisible church that's made up by all of the churches. Not everybody that belongs to a church is a part of the invisible church. I don't want to go too deep into that right now. But that makes up the bride of Christ. God has special expectations for true Christians, true believers and followers that are a part of that invisible bride of Christ. This mosaic that's put together is not put together by mistake. God has purposefully put all of the pieces together. Now there are some pieces that are missing. Not because God is at fault, but because individuals have refused or neglected to be a part of that invisible bride of Christ. God loves us so much that He wants all of us to participate in His blessings, in His care. But not all of us really want that. And that's a shame. A lot of it's because of ignorance. Other parts of it is because of stubbornness. And other parts of it is because of sin. So I want to speak to you this morning on the theme that would be this week, because February the 14th, guys, is coming up. Anybody, does that jog anything in your memory, February the 14th? I hope it does for your sake. I know for me, it's a special day because Susan and I will have been married 48 and a half years on February the 14th. It's our 6-month anniversary. And she makes sure that I don't forget that. And she's told me a little bit more than 48 times. But it's also Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day is a day for saying, I love you. John 3:16 explains the love of God. And from the New King James Version, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever, now the King James says, whosoever, that pretty well means anybody, everybody. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And many times I've explained that word in the Greek, believes. In English, we see believe as very weak compared to the Greek explanation of believe. In the Greek, you do not believe it until it's a part of you. And I can, by this water, every one of you can see it. Most of you can hear it. But that, in English, that would mean you believe it. Because you can see it, you can hear it, and you can actually taste it. But in the Greek, you really don't believe it until you swallow it and it becomes a part of you and you become a part of it. And that's what this believe means. Until you have received Christ and He lives in your heart and you live with Him in Him, then you believe Him. And Jesus kind of puts His finger on this over in the 14th chapter, the 15th verse, when He says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. It's short. It's sweet. It's to the point. I love you. If you love Me, prove it. That's what Jesus is saying. I love you so much that I came that you might have everlasting life. I came to pay the price so that your sins could be forgiven, that you could be a part of Me and I can be a part of you. Now, if you love Me, it's not enough just to say it. Prove it. Do it. Do love Me. Act love Me. Participate love Me. Don't just say that you're My follower. Prove it and obey Me. So let's look at the setting for what this entails. Jesus is meeting with His disciples, His followers. It's for the last time in this earthly body of clay that He gets to meet with them, that they get to see Him. He's giving last-minute instructions for the conquest of the kingdom. So here in John 14 and 15, He says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. What He was explaining is, I'm going away. I'm going to send another comforter. I'm going to send a paraclete to come and be with you. But if you love Me, keep My commandments. In John 14:23, Jesus elaborates a little bit. He says, if anyone loves Me, he will keep My word. And My Father will love him. And we will come to Him and make our home in him. And in verse 24, he says, he who does not love me does not keep my words. Now, that's not a misprint. Many would try to say that's not really what he meant. I believe that Jesus says what he meant and he means what he says. And I believe that what he has said, he means. So I entitled this message, Love God? Question mark. There's many ways with the inflection of the tongue that we could say that. Love God? Love God. Love God. And each one has a little different meaning. So I put the question mark there. Love God? Because it's probing. And I want you to answer that. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You will do my commandments. And if you don't do them, it means you don't love me. In other words, if you don't love me, you won't do them. So that's the same as saying, if you don't do them, you don't love me. It's an impassioned plea from the lips of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. If you love me, do what I tell you to do. And if you don't do what I command you to do, then I'm afraid you don't love me. Somebody that never obeys you, how much can they love you? So you come to that point, and that's where Jesus was. There was a passion that was rising up in him. He could see his disciples, his followers there. He knew that it was the birth of the church right there. He knew that the conquering for the kingdom of God was right there in these men, in these women. And yes, there was women there. And yes, he was speaking to all of them. And he was saying the one thing that he needed to say, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Because that way you're going to be successful. And it was a passion that rose up in him. And he said this with passion. Jesus took the scenario even further. He said that on Judgment Day, over in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, he said on Judgment Day, there's going to be many that stand before me and they cry out, Lord, Lord, I served you. I loved you. I even cast out devils in your name. I preached you in the streets. And Jesus said, I will respond. Depart from me. I never knew you. So we've gone from, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, really, we've gone from God loved us so much that he sent his son. And his son says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then Jesus said, if anybody loves me, he keeps my word, and my Father and me, we will come and make our home in him. But if you don't love me, you won't keep my commandments. And now he's saying that many will stand in front of me on Judgment Day. And they'll say, we preached you, we loved you, we served you. We were a part of what you're doing. Of course, we never did anything, but we were there. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Because unless a person is doing what God has told him to do, he does not really love God. He don't love him enough to respect him. He doesn't love him enough to obey him. It's that form of Christianity that is only a form and has no real substance to it. There's many that give lip service. There's many that give token service. There's many that know the right things to say and they go through the motions. But they're never sold out to God. They haven't given him everything. They've reserved the right to disagree with God, to disobey God, to not obey God. Scary place. But the world is full of them, and we see it growing more and more and more. Where God has become an item of convenience. If I feel like it, if I have time, if nothing interferes, then I'll do what I'm asked to do, expected to do. But if something interferes, I'm sorry. I won't be obedient that day. And God understands. God doesn't expect. And we go through all of these little excuses and moments. And we try to put it all back on him. In the world today, if you don't have the flashing lights and the big band, why should I come? I don't get anything out of it. I don't feel anything, Pastor. Do you feel that? In the name of Jesus. Sometimes that's what I feel like doing, just knocking a knot on their head. My dad thought it was the cure for a lot of things, and you know what? It was. But you always put a little oil on you, so you anoint them. Sometimes I get aggravated with myself. Because I find myself growing laxed. And it's a constant thing. You have to build up. You have to stir up that spirit that's in you. And Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift. Stir up the spirit that's inside of you. And there's times when we need to go through that stirring up. Ever so often, I'll have somebody come up to me and say, Pastor, why don't you ease up just a little bit? We're not seeker friendly. We would have more people if you would preach shorter and not so harsh. I know that. Yes, we would. But who would we have? Why do you preach the way you do, Pastor? Now, I get that once in a while. Not as often as I used to. I used to get it a lot. But I don't get it quite as much as I used to. But ever so often, somebody will come up and say, ease up, back off, get shorter, don't be so harsh. Learn to put it a little nicer. I'm not going to say anything about snowflakes. You want to know why I take such great pains and I spend anywhere from 20 to 25, 26 hours putting a message together? Some of you think I take longer than that to deliver it, but I do the best I can. One day, we're going to stand at the great white throne judgment. And if you haven't been sold out to God, if you haven't been keeping His commandments, if you haven't loved Him with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and you start crying out, listen, I went to church every Sunday. I loved you, Lord. And He says, I don't know you. I don't want you to turn and say, well, He was my preacher and it's His fault because He didn't tell me the truth. Can you imagine what that would do to your heart? I don't want anybody to ever have an excuse that Pastor didn't tell me, that Pastor didn't make it plain enough. I didn't understand because Pastor didn't preach it straight. When you stand before Jesus and you start using me as an excuse, I want Jesus to be able to say, wait, no. Because I want Him to look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want you to be able to point your finger at me. I don't want to hear those words. Why didn't you tell me? There was a young lady, teenager, senior in high school. She sat under my ministry. Week after week, I watched her write notes and giggle, and her and a couple of other girls, or maybe even a couple of boys, they would cut up and they wouldn't pay attention. And I talked to her numerous times. The day of her prom, her and one of her best friends was going down this good-sized road. They estimate they were doing probably 80, 85. And there was a flatbed truck, semi, stopped. And they come around the curve and went up under that semi. Both of them killed instantly. I did that funeral. I had to watch that mother because she knew there was alcohol that was involved. There was a lot of other things that were involved. That mother asked me a question. Did my little girl go to heaven? I said, I don't know. That's not my place. But you know. And she broke down because she did know. I can't do anything more than give the truth and lay it out. Those kinds of things are why I preach the way I do. Another young lady named Vivian, at the end of a service that God had moved so powerfully, several people tried to get Vivian to come down to the altar. I talked to Vivian, and I was not the pastor, and I tried to get her to come down. And she said, I don't need that. I'm okay. I grew up in this church. She walked out. Before she got home, she stepped into eternity. You say, well, she said, I don't know. God knows. I don't. But it's why I preach the way I do. Because I want to tell all of you while I can, while there's still an opportunity for everything to be brought in order. You know. I don't have to tell you what you're doing. You know. You know your own heart. I know my heart. Love God? Really? So many professing saints so happily sing, oh, how I love Jesus. But what is the definition of that love? What does that love equate to? Is it some wimpy, cheap love that requires absolutely nothing from you? Are you looking for a salvation that has no cost? Then what you're doing is leaving the cross out of it, because salvation has a cost. You'll never have a crown without a cross. Many of today's generation are starting to get serious about God, because the group in front of them pushed God aside, left God out of their life. They really don't want much to do with God. And that generation that's coming up now, that young generation, they see, they understand, they know. And so many of them are starting to get serious about God. While those that went before them treat God like a cheap date. They say that when things get tight or tough, they can split without any hassles. If I don't like this church, I'll just go to that church. And if that church don't treat me right, then I'll go to that church. And we think that we can move around and do all these things without any strings attached. Let me tell you something. This is the body of Christ. You don't just move around in the body of Christ. You go where you're sent. And you grow where you're planted. And if something's not good about the place you are, then you make it better. Put your shoulder to the grindstone. Put your knees down in front of the altar. And you begin to stain that altar with your tears. And you cry out to Him. No, I'll just split. I'll go somewhere else. Right from the beginning, whether it's in a marriage or a dating relationship or church or work or wherever it is, if you are looking for a way out, right from the beginning, you're admitting that if it gets tough, I'm out of here. I'll just go someplace else. No attachments. No real commitment. Oh, commitment used to be a big bad thing. You didn't say the word commitment in church because people didn't want to be committed. Well, they still don't. But they keep it quiet. And they just drift off. We see that attitude so much today. That saints can go traipsing all over the place and never be a real part. They're looking for that emotional high. I want to feel good, Pastor. Make me feel good. Make me feel... No, I want to make you feel bad. No, I don't. I want to make you feel great. And the greatest feeling you can have is to know that everything's okay between you and God. The greatest feeling you can have is that you have His approval upon your life, upon your actions. There's nothing greater than that when you lay your head down on a pillow. Then you can sing, peace, peace. Wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Isn't it a shame all the singers want to preach and all the preachers want to sing? And neither one can do either one. I had a voice. I think it lasted about 6 months. And that was close to 20 years ago. I didn't have it at the beginning of my ministry. I couldn't carry a tune in a double wheelbarrow. Then all of a sudden, for about 6 months, I could sing. I did specials, and nobody did like that. Some people even done like that. I think it was because they felt sorry for me. But then it left me again. Just about the time I came here. But I try. You notice she had to get up and leave on that one. She was enjoying it so much she got choked. If all you're looking for is an emotional high, you can find that at the movies or any other place. If all you're wanting is just a feel-good moment, then you don't have to be committed to God. You don't have to be committed to a church. You don't have to commit anything. You just go and get what you want. If you're not interested in obedience to God, then you're not interested in discipleship. If you're not interested in discipleship, then you're not interested in working for Him. If you're not interested in working for Him, then you'll never serve Him. Jesus said, when I come back, I'm looking for those who are diligently obeying and working for the Father. If all you're looking for is a happy ever after life, then you're looking for a fairy tale. Please understand. Understand this morning. And this is only point one of this message. I thought I'd finish it today. Please understand that God demands an obedient love. Jesus said, you say you love me, well, prove it. Do what I tell you to do. Bow your heads with me, would you please?